Goss Island is brought to you by F&F Fashion at Tesco. Now, I love a good gawk in F&F when doing my Tesco shop at the weekend, and they've got some lovely bits in store to suit any occasion. I've recently bought some fab pieces myself and love how comfortable, stylish and versatile their clobber is, especially in the warmer weather. Whether you're hosting a Love Island party or going on holidays, with availability in over 80 stores nationwide, F&F at Tesco has you covered this summer. Hello and welcome back to Goss Island. I have an amazing guest on with us this week. It's Donegal's second most famous man after Wee Daniel. Mm-hmm. It's TikTok sensation Eric Roberts.
You couldn't just give me that today. Thank you very much.
You're competing with Daniel.
I'm forever on his heels, which is a bit of a torture, but one day.
You'll get there as well. So come here, thanks. You've made the trip all the way down from Donegal. We were just chatting about it there. You drove down especially for this. So we're honoured to have you here as well.
I'm delighted to be here in the big city.
For anyone who doesn't know you, which there mustn't be many now at this stage, anyone that's online, tell us a bit about yourself or how you...
I'm from Donegal, and I suppose I've only been in this kind of spectrum of online for the last couple of years. I was a special needs assistant for 7 or 8 years, and I kind of thought that was going to be the be-all and end-all. It was my career job, and I very much so fell into this. I had no aspirations to do any sort of work online. I didn't really know what it was. I didn't know you could kind of have a career doing it. So it's still, even to this day, very, very new to me, and I'm just really, really enjoying the process and stuff. And I've just recently gone like full-time showbiz, which is a scary leap, and was kind of emotional leaving that part of my life behind. But I suppose, who's to say I won't ever go back to it? And I'm still going to continue to work with children with disabilities and stuff as well. I've got loads of plans for the future with that. But I suppose, yeah, you kind of have to take the leap and see where it takes you. So I'm just, as I say, I'm enjoying the process now.
Oh, big time. And like, I suppose I first came across a few years ago. It was kind of around lockdown, and just came, I think it wasn't even on TikTok at the stage. It was on Insta, but it was just like you doing a kind of a funny reel up home, and kind of like, it was like, oh, who's this lad? He's funny. And then you kind of grew steadily from there. Was it only lockdown that you started?
It was literally lockdown. I suppose I was always kind of the joker of the group, and like the class clown or whatever. It's kind of cliche to say, but I was always considered like the funny lad in the group. But I never, I mean, I'm from rural Donegal. It's not kind of the social norm to be putting up videos of yourself and stuff. Do you know what I mean? Nobody would do it. But I was always kind of that outlandish lad that would do kind of things like this. Yeah. I mean, I had a background in dancing as well, which was... like, everyone's like, what are you doing? Like, do you know what I mean? But I always kind of had an interest in, I wouldn't say being different, but like doing what they're doing all over the world. But it's not,
Yeah, exactly.
But it wasn't really the norm for up home. So when I started doing it, it was during lockdown and I was locked away, and I didn't really have that fear of like meeting people and then being like, well, I seen you put up a video. I was just locked away and I just started putting up this content, and it kind of spiraled from there. But I mean, when I started posting the TikToks on Instagram, I think it was 3 weeks and I had 70,000 followers on Instagram. So it was like very, very quick.
Jeez, that's very quick.
And that's what I mean when I said I had no idea what it was. And I like every day was kind of a school day when it came to growing online and seeing what you could get from it. And as I say, it's been probably a year now really doing it properly. And it's been just the best year ever. Just so many pinch me moments and so many opportunities and stuff. So I'm just excited to see what the next couple of years have in store now.
It wasn't your first brush of fame, though, either. Was it Ireland's Got Talent that...
We did a couple of shows back in the day, yeah, with the dancing.
Was it Britain's Got Talent as well?
A show called Got to Dance on Sky One.
Got to Dance, that's it, yeah.
Very old show. And we did Ireland's Got Talent as well. And we had a good spell. I mean, we danced, myself and my mate Vinnie McLaughlin, we danced for about 6 or 7 years professionally, like up and down the country, doing weddings and nightclubs and stuff. It was a very fun time, but I mean... we got to the stage then we were like, we'll have to hang up the dancing shoes. Do you know what I mean?
You're too long in the tooth.
I do it now after a few rum and cokes. That's about the height of it.
So what kind of dance is it? Hip hop or the... because I always see you doing the kind of... basically, like, yeah, I do it now with the...
that's the one. Yeah, that's the one. That's what really put us on the map.
So what kind of style is
it? So like hip hop and robotics and kind of animations and stuff. And I won't be doing any today. So. No.
But did you go to dance school for that, or is it just something you found? You were
so in rural Donegal with no neighbours and nothing to do and... A wire internet connection. I just used to watch YouTube videos and stuff, and I was very, very bored, and I just taught myself how to dance, and that was it. It was just sitting in the house, self-taught, and I, again, was like thinking, this isn't going to go anywhere, but then we applied for a couple of them shows, and I think we were the most viewed clip on YouTube that year, with like 500,000 views or something, and we just ended up getting loads of bookings, and we were like, Jesus, we can do this and make a bit of money out of it. So it was a very fun time.
Jesus, you're cued out from the get-go. Yeah. No joke, as I said. But I say then, like, what age were you when you're doing that? Were you able to kind of like
coming out of my teens, and we were going getting free drink in the nightclubs and doing a wee dance, and we were going to weddings, and yeah. Do you know what I mean? It was good crack. There was no kind of longevity with it, but it was, again, it was just something you wouldn't see two Donegal lads doing. So we kind of enjoyed ourselves for a couple of years doing that, and then I knuckled down and got a real job.
Yeah. So you've been kind of plugging away at it for a while, doing different bits. So you haven't really changed. You just happen to start putting stuff up online. You're probably doing those skits for the friends.
Exactly. I mean, it was, as I say, I had no aspirations or no desire to do anything like I'm doing now. And even coming into this year, I kind of said this year, I'll come into this year and be a yes man and just start saying yes to these things I'm getting offered, like comedy and presenting and acting, and just see where it can go. And it's just been going amazingly. So I'm delighted. And as I say, I'm just excited to see what else I can do before the end of the year.
Yeah, because it's like the acting, I suppose, a lot of the stuff you do in the videos is acting or sketches in a way. So, like, I'd love to see you actually in a play or in, like, you know, in a TV show or something.
I did a course recently with Louise Keeley Casting, and I thought to myself, I'll sign up for this. And I had been doing a few ads anyway, and as you say, kind of not really realizing it, but I am acting.
Yeah.
But I signed up for this course, and I got sent a script, and the script was very serious. So it doesn't really suit me, do you know what I mean? So it was like my wife had come home and I'm like, where have you been all night? And they're like, you're gonna have to, like, you need to be a bit more depressed, you've been alone in the house. And I'm like, where have you been all night? So they were like, well, maybe we'll give him a funny script. So they gave me a funny one then, and that suited me a bit more. But I mean, that's what I'm saying, I'm just excited to learn. And kind of when you're in your career job coming into your 30s, you're like, you're not really going to try new things. But what I've realized is it's amazing trying all these new things. You know what I mean? I did stand-up comedy a couple of weeks ago with the BBC in front of a couple of hundred people, something I never in a million years thought I would do, and it was amazing.
Did you cock yourself at all?
The most terrified I've ever been in my life, like hyperventilating before going on stage. Like,
I'd have to have a nappy going on, honest to God.
It was awful, like awful.
Because it's one thing being funny within a group and all that, but then go up on stage then and like have to be
even
funny.
Even making TikToks and make hair and stuff, if it's not going well, right, I'll delete that, I'll start that again. It's one take, do you know what I mean, on stage, like, but it went well, do you know what I mean?
I got a few laughs.
Got a lot of laughs. No, it was fun, it was an amazing experience, and definitely something I would look into doing again, but that's what I mean, I'm just going to keep trying as many things as I can now.
Yeah, geez, fair play to you. Like, you know, you're really going for it, and like, you're,
I feel like you have to, especially now that I've left work, I'm motivated now to do as much as I can, do you know what I mean? I want to see where I can actually take it if I keep pushing, and it's easy work I'm doing because I'm enjoying it so much, but it's like tough as well at the same time. It takes a lot of time. You're kind of flat out every day of the week, but it's just so enjoyable. I can't really look at it as work. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And like, how have you found kind of getting this new like fandom or like followers? Like, have you got any hate? Because there's obviously a lot of people love you, and I suppose when you're putting out funny content, it's great. You're getting the laughs. But like, has there been a darker side to it at all?
I mean, I know there is a dark side to it, but I've been extremely lucky in that I haven't really got that many hate comments. And if I do, it's more so I'm thinking, well, this person can't be very happy themselves if they're going out of their way to comment on something. Do you know what I mean? But as you say, my content is very like family orientated, and I just try and spread a bit of positivity without sounding like a fucking idiot. Like, it's just a light laugh. So if you don't enjoy me, you're probably just not going to follow me. But I can't imagine I would make anyone want to go out of their way and be like, this guy's a...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I try, and I'm not political, I'm not controversial, it's just literally me and my own life, and most of my content is just me taking the piss out of myself, do you know what I mean? And people seem to enjoy that, so that's what I do mostly.
Yeah. I have noticed as well, there's been a few cohort that are fans of your bulge on TikTok and Instagram. There seems to be a good few comments on that.
I mean, like, I don't know where this comes from, to be honest. I don't set out to post thirst traps per se.
Well, if you are a thirst trap, you can't help it, if just being you,
I suppose.
Do you know that kind of way, like, how can you not be you?
I don't know. I don't spot these things before posting them, and then they're pointed out to me, which, listen, it's flattering.
Yeah,
I'll take what I can get, do you know what I mean?
It's better to be getting it than not getting it.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Well, how do you find that? Is that kind of,
I mean, it's funny. Again, at the same time, it's not something I take too seriously, and I would just laugh at it, you know what I mean? It's the same as anything else.
But it's kind of a nice thing to get,
of course,
like, rather than someone saying, oh, where is it?
Well, exactly,
do you know what
there's
I mean? Like, and having to defend it.
Yeah, no, listen, it's their opinion, that's what I'll say. I'm not going around saying anything about it.
And we'll leave that at that. Come here, obviously, Love Island, and I know you do watch it, and I've seen you put up stories and all that. Would you go on Love Island? I know you're not single now, and you're happily engaged. Congratulations as well on that. But if you were single, would you go on?
I mean, years ago, if I was single, of course. But I think it's changed a lot. Obviously, it was like a golden ticket back in the day. I mean, you knew if you were going on it. People say they're going on for love, but realistically, it's an amazing business choice to go on that. And it was kind of setting people up for life. And a lot of the biggest social media stars currently are coming from that show. Today, it seems like a bit of a minefield now. Like they're not letting people have their Instagram and stuff. And people are more understanding of how produced the show is almost. And they're almost replicas of each other coming on each year at this point. Do you know what I mean? But definitely years ago, I would have gone on it. But reality TV is scary. Like, can paint whatever picture they want. I mean, if they want you to be the villain, you'll be the villain. If they want you to be the heartthrob, do you know what I mean? It's all very much so in their hands. So it would be a constant thing in your head every day when you're waking up, like, how am I looking here? Even if you are being your natural self. I mean, they kind of decide not to show. There's people in the show this year, and I was watching it last night. I was like, who's that fella?
I know. Do you know what I mean? Airtime.
Yeah, exactly. So they can kind of pick and choose, and they might be having a great time in there and think they're on TV loads, and then they're going to come out and be like, I wasn't even on the show. Like, so it's all very much so in their hands, which is what's scary to me about reality television.
Yeah, it's like, obviously you say certain things or do certain things that can't be edited, but like, your airtime can be edited, or like parts of a scene can be put before something else. Mm-hmm. So like a reaction seems different. So that's the scary part. You can only have so much control over your actions, but the other bit around it.
Exactly. I mean, at the end of the day, we're seeing an hour of 24 hours. Do you know what I mean? So it's entirely in their hands. So I think I'd be terrified of how I'm looking and stuff like that there. Even if like you're being your genuine self and stuff, one comment, they might just show that. And then it's like, right, that's who he is.
Yeah.
Because once the public see a certain side of you, that's their opinion of you then. That's what's so terrifying about
it. That's all they can go off, really. Mm-hmm. And what does your fiance make of it all?
I mean, what I'm doing, she's extremely supportive. She's obviously in education as well, so she has no desire to be featured on the channel at all. And it's almost annoying for me sometimes when I'm like, we're out and about, and I'm like, oh, let's put up a video. And she's like, no, absolutely not.
Yeah,
I'm wearing Adidas tracksuit bottoms. Don't dare take a photo of me. Do you know what I mean? But she's hugely supportive of what I'm doing, and she kind of sees the opportunities that I'm getting and stuff. So it's exciting for her as well. We're actually talking about maybe moving to Dublin, just because a lot of the work up here is, it's constantly up here and up and down, a lot of traveling and stuff. So we're toying with the idea. But even to be in a position where we can kind of do that is amazing. Yeah. So she's very, very happy, and I am happy, and there's loads of fun staycations and holidays and stuff for her thrown in as well. So
I suppose, yeah, there's the perks, the freebies and events and things like that. Mm-hmm. And like, do you know what I mean? Like a lot of, what do you make of the whole, like the influencer? Because like that's seen as a dirty word kind of now, nearly. Like, what do you make of it?
I mean, everyone that I've met so far, 95% of the people that I've met so far have been lovely. Do you know what I mean? I, as I said, was very, very new to this. And I actually sent a message to the boss lady about 2 years ago, and I was like, what is this crack? Like, I want to be involved in this. And I was like, you're doing great, invite me to the next event. You know what I mean? And we can still laugh and joke about it every time we see each other now. But yeah. I want in. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I want to be one of these influencers. But when you start going to the events and stuff, you realize how small a world it actually is. Do you know what I mean? Once you've gone to one event, you realize everyone's at the next one.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like we're new blood coming in. I suppose the TikTok generation. You have the influencers that have been around for a decade and doing it for so long, and then these TikTokers are coming up with like a couple of 100,000 more followers than them, and it's like, where did you get all these? And there is a bit of like almost animosity.
Is there a bit of kind of like a
there can be like I would imagine so, but day as I said, them, yeah. As I said, everyone that I've spoke to is like genuinely nice and helpful, and I'm very, very close to like the likes of Patti Smith now, who's been in it for years, and like Rob Kenny and stuff, and they really took me under their wing and gave me loads of advice about you need to kind of get into the PR side of things and not just have followers and really put yourself out there. So they're people I hugely respect. I mean, people who go out of their way when they don't have to give you advice and help you out and stuff. So there's a lot of people like that in the industry, but again, there's probably some people who are just like, who the fuck?
Have you met any dickheads?
Yeah, definitely.
Can you name names?
So there was them.
Off the record. We'll get it later.
Off camera.
Yeah, off camera.
Yeah.
I will actually ask it. So how did you and your fiance meet?
We met 16 years ago.
16?
So we were from the same area. Childhood sweethearts. And we were on and off for a long time. She did her travel and I did my travel. But we were always kind of in constant conversation. And then about 4 years ago, we met up again. We were like, oh, sure,
we'll get back together and see how it goes. And now we're getting married.
Jeez, that's lovely, actually, yeah. In a way. Like, so you kind of, like, you have the history, but then you're still able to kind of do your own bits.
Absolutely. Then... I mean, it was always kind of circumstantial that we weren't together. Do you know what I mean? And we went off and enjoyed ourselves. I did, like, all the seasons abroad, and she was in Australia, and she taught in Spain for a bit. And we just always kind of kept in touch. And then when it was kind of COVID hit and we were forced into the same area again, that was just it. And we always knew we were going to end up together.
And you got engaged, was it in Greece?
On a yacht in Santorini last year, yeah.
You've some notions for Donegal, man, don't you? I'm telling you.
I don't know where I get these ideas.
A yacht in Santorini, I love it. Like, just, that's great.
It was lovely, but we were actually dying hungover. on the yacht, so I was kind of like, get up, stand up there, I'll get down on one knee. And I was like, will you marry me? on a boat beside this volcano, and all, but it was lovely. It was a gorgeous setting. And I'm delighted she said yes. So,
was there any fans that were a bit devastated, or did you get any?
I don't think so, no. Not that I know of, anyway.
Yeah. Have you got any mad propositions or anything off any?
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
What kind of stuff?
Dirty boxers and socks and
really?
Stuff that you could make a fortune off, I would say. But
People wanting to buy your dirty jobs?
Yeah, I mean, there's some headers out there.
You'd
be thinking, Jesus, if you want me socks, I'll give you my socks. But then you kind of realise, no, what do you want them for? Like, do you know what I mean?
But I suppose once they buy them, they're theirs to
do
what they
do
please.
With what you will.
And like, how much would they be offering you for the socks?
I've been offered some silly money, but it's like, are you being serious when they're offering this kind of... I've been offered a couple of grand... For like underwear and stuff, and like
just would you not do
private
it?
Links or the OnlyFans messages are constant as well. Said to my mother last year about OnlyFans, she's like, would you not do it? And I was like, but you know what it is? Like,
your mother said, would you not do it?
When she heard about the money involved, like she was like, she put up a couple of photos of your top off or something. I was like, I don't know, it might go.
That's the first now an Irish mammy pushing for the OnlyFans.
Listen, if there's a few pound in it,
but like, look, this aside now, would you not? OnlyFans is one thing, you'd have to get your todger out probably to make the proper money, and then with your other work, which you've done previously with special needs and your fiance's work, maybe that might go against that.
Might hinder me a bit.
Would you not do the dirty jocks on the sly and no one need know? Like,
I don't think it fits my brand, selling dirty boxers, do you know what
no
I mean?
No one needs to know.
Family orientated, lovely guy, sells his underwear online. I don't think it fits, no. I'm gonna stick in the straight and narrow, I think. Do you know what I mean? And just see where that can take me. And then once the career's fizzling out, then revisit it maybe.
Yeah. I can't believe people want jocks.
Neither can I, to be honest.
But geez, it could be an easy bit of money.
Would be.
The wedding would pay for itself
They would probably send them back once they've received them. And say, Jesus, do you know what?
You could sell three jocks and then you could do an open bar at the wedding. Do you know, think of it like that.
Yeah.
Wear them to GA training and then bang in Swift Post.
You're on the temptation train now.
Well, I'm not tempted, no. Do you know what I mean?
You writing to me off fake accounts?
Yeah. Oh, that's
are
my
they still up for sale?
That's my Finsta. I better delete it now.
Maybe you should sell them, Eric. I'm just saying.
Discount?
A discount code, yeah. Code Eric for Dirty Boxers. Yeah. Love it.
So what have you been making on the latest drama in Love Island? Like, we had... all the Casa Amor stuff, like, my God, like, it really delivered, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, I think this has been one of the more entertaining Love Islands of the last couple of years. You've got your main characters, I feel like, in Ty and Ella, and that was, like, we've almost seen him grow up over the course of the weeks. I mean, he was very much so like a fuckboy the first couple of episodes and stuff,
yeah,
wasn't
he? Was.
And the likes of Casa, I think his ego was so badly bruised, he kind of had a bit of a wake-up call, thinking, like, maybe he's not the top dick, do you know what I mean? Mm. She's made a bit of a show of him here. You could see his ego was bruised. And you could tell he wanted her back, but he wanted her to work for it, do you know what I mean? And I think he likes how much she likes him as well. It's like, you better finish with him if you want me back. And then she's like immediately breaking up with him and getting back with him and stuff. He gets a bit of a buzz off it. But you can tell he has matured a bit as well. And then you've got the really immature people in like Sammy and stuff, who's like, it's like he's at a teenage just disco round about kissing everybody. Yeah. Like, I don't know if I like you, give me a kiss. Do you know what I mean? The stuff you would do when you were 13. Yeah. So he's making a bit of a fucking idiot of himself, I feel.
I know. Like, it's mad when, like, watching Ella and Casa, obviously, and I understand why she went to, she knew Uzi before, and they were probably about to hook up if she hadn't got on it. So there was history there. They're both from Scotland. They had met on a modelling job. So she definitely gravitated towards him. And she picked him, and I thought, like, oh, look, they'll probably move on with the relationship now. It'll all be great. But when she came back in, then it only seemed that she picked him because she thought Ty was going to pick someone else. And it was like she was still mad on ties, and she kind of dropped Uzi like a hot snot then.
Yeah. Do you know that? It was like an immediate thing for her with Ty, though. I feel like she like is head over heels with him like straight away, and she's come back in, saw him stand there. She's like, shit, what have I done? Yeah. Kind of thing. Like, I need to immediately get him back. But you have the funny characters then, like a Mitch and stuff, who would like, I think he's tried to get on every girl in there basically. And there's always one every year. There's one character and there's
hapless,
just
yeah.
He's lucky to couple up, and then when he does, he's like a puppy dog. Like, So I've had a good laugh at him, and then obviously Sammy and Mature, and then like the rest of them, I don't know. I feel like some of them are just in there for the sake of being in there. The guy I mentioned, he hasn't been in it at all. I couldn't even tell you his name, but I seen it. I was watching it last night, and I was like, "Who is that fella there in the
Montel,
background?
Is it?
Is it Montel?
He's with Leah.
Do you know what I mean? You're thinking if you're in there in the show, try and make the most of it. Surely there's some way, shape, or form he could do something to mix things up and stir the pot a bit. Do you know what I mean? I feel like they get too complacent after Castle, like all the drama's done almost. But last night, as I said, was very entertaining.
Yeah, see, Montel's a bit of like, he's not that big a character. He's with Leah, who was a bit boring as well. She only kind of came alive last night.
Yeah,
I actually want to talk about Scott, and it's a good way of going into it, because Leah has been a bit of a quiet character, and she kind of piped up and found her voice last night, and she was kind of going at every lad in all the different situations, and then kind of she was one of them, and they're all talking about Scott, and Scott kind of lit on her then and said, where have you come from? You haven't spoken in four fucking weeks and all this. And then there was a big row over that. But what I want to do is talk about Scott. Is like all the girls seem to hate him, and are they seeing something we're not seeing? Because I feel like he's been kind of nearly half bullied in there, between even with the lads saying he didn't really fancy Catherine, even though he still stayed loyal to her. And now the girls are all kind of like on his back, even though Catherine came back with someone else and he didn't. What do you make of it? Is there something we're not seeing?
I mean, it falls back under the bracket of we're only seeing it over the 24 hours, and we're seeing what they want us to see. But I think his ego was definitely bruised as well last night when they showed that clip, and the girls were like, oh, you tried to get on everyone and you're coming back here acting as if you're Mr. Noble.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You were stood by yourself. She came back in a couple and you were kind of saying, oh, well, I stayed loyal. Well, did you really, if you were flirting with everyone in there? No one took you on. So that definitely, he didn't like that. Do you know what I mean? When they're all sat amongst the lads, all the boys were being the boys and the girls were being the girls, and they're kind of at each other like hyenas almost, and they're defending each other. But Ty was probably one of the most mature in that situation, where he was saying, listen, it's done, we'll forget about it. Whereas the rest of them were kind of going at each other, and that's what makes movie night so entertaining.
Yeah.
But I think there's definitely something going on behind the scenes, probably with Scott and the girls, that we've missed and that they decided not to put in.
Yeah, because Catherine's getting loads of hate on Twitter, and I hate to see it for an Irish girl, but like what annoyed me about what Catherine did is, she obviously found someone with a better connection, and that's what all about. She coupled up with him and came back. But most people would be in, and kind of the body language would be down a bit. You'd be kind of, oh, sorry. Do you know, a tail between your legs. She came back in and kind of started biting back straight away, and which is fair enough. But if the shoe was on the other foot and he came back in and she wasn't coupled in, he'd be public enemy number one. So there is a kind of double standard there, I feel, with Scott and Catherine, and maybe there's something we're not seeing, and it'll probably all come out after the show when they start doing their interviews and saying, oh, he was a prick behind the scenes.
Yeah, I mean, that's when you get the juicy stuff, when you come out and you're actually able to talk about it. But it's the same with Sammy last night, when he was kind of laughing and he could see, what do you call her, was upset.
Oh, he's like, but how is Sammy not getting, like, Sammy, like, visibly more, his behaviour is worse than Scott's, and like he's getting kind of scot-free. No one really gives him a hard
time. The girls are kind of giving him a pass almost on all the stuff he's been up to, and it's been mental compared to everyone else.
Like, but poor old Jess, I felt sorry for the creator.
She's had a bad time of it, like, hasn't she? Yeah. And he was kind of giggling and stuff when all this was going on, and she's watching him kiss other people and talk about how he's a better connection after a couple of days. So it was a hard watch for her, definitely, but again, Scott's getting the brunt of it, like, which is strange. So there's definitely something going on there.
And I know what he meant. He was probably just filling your own mal with shite, kind of just to kind of get her on side. That
having a flirt, like, he's going to say what she wants to hear, really, as any lad would. So,
but he can't just apologise and say, oh, look, I didn't mean that, I'm sorry. It's a hurtful thing to say. He kind of has that mouth as well, like Cheshire Cat. He kind of, even when he's not smiling, he's kind of grinning in a sinister way.
Yeah,
that's the way
he can do no wrong.
But yeah, so I don't know, like, will Jess and Sammy, they can never seem to kind of get it properly together, like, but I still think she'll keep going back and back to him.
Yeah, there's a couple like that every year, isn't there? Like Chris and Olivia years ago, where they were just constantly arguing, constantly falling out, and like the iconic, like, sit down, I'm sat, that relationship, like when they're constantly arguing. There's one of them every year, and they're gonna be gravitating towards each other, even though they give off the impression like, no, it's never gonna work. They're constantly arguing. It's one of those relationships, do you know what I mean? They love to hate each other.
Yeah. But See, I think now, like, who do you think is going to win?
Oh, it's so hard to call it now at the minute. Like, but I think people are really falling in love with Ty and Elle's relationship.
Yeah.
And if they can be seen now to be quite close after all, like, people love that rockiness and getting breaking up. And, like, what do you call Millie and Liam a couple of years ago, where he had the hiccup in Casa and they ended up getting back together. People love that kind of story of, like, they've fallen out, they've gotten back. There's an epic love story. So I would say my money would be on them at the minute, but sure, it could all change within a couple of nights.
Yeah, I think it'll be either Elle, Tyreek, it could be Molly and Zach, or I think Mitch and Abby now. I think people were hating Mitch ages ago, and now they love him. He's kind of a bit of an agent.
He has that funny persona that could carry him the whole way.
Like, yeah, and like, if they couple up, I think they're our top three. But I think Zach and Molly, even though they're a good couple and they've kind of got back together, I think they're a little bit boring. There's no fireworks there. Like, I want Rouse. Even when she came back in, she could have gone in against him harder.
Yeah.
Well, he's laid back Larry. He's just like,
you want that bit of controversy too, as well. The funny thing about Mitch's as well, I would say if a couple more bombshells came in and gave Mitch the time of day, I'd say his head could be easily turned as well.
Yeah.
Because he had so long in there where just no one was giving him anything. So the first girl that did, he was like, oh my God, I'm in love.
Yeah.
So if someone else came in and kind of fed his ego a bit as well, I would say his head could be easily turned.
I don't know if they'd last on the outside. She's a bit posh, isn't she? Like, for kind of, and he's more the kind of the chappy plumber or the gas electric man or whatever he works at. So I can't really see them like outside, because she's more of a Made in Chelsea type.
Yeah.
But people saying she used to know Prince Harry when she was young.
Yeah, like they used to ride horses outside and stuff.
Yeah, so like now all of a sudden she's on, I doubt her parents are loving her on Love Island.
No, I can't imagine Mitch is like a bring home boy, is he? Like, you're right.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think that's probably our final three. I've a feeling Katie is gone out of there, because like the rumors of her having a boyfriend.
Yeah, I mean, is there any kind of like, she's gone in there and she's really disappointed, and like when you're thinking of like a bombshell coming in to really mix things up, she's just gone in and she's just kind of there, and it's almost like she's only done it to further their career on the outside. She hasn't really done anything, hasn't made an effort with anyone. So yeah, she's been a big disappointment, I think.
Yeah, like, I think she did what she needed to do coming in and causing that stir, Molly going home. I think the producers have done really well at kind of, like, changing things up, but I think they should have got more involved in Molly's return, because that was a bit like a damp squid at this stage.
Kind of, she was like, oh, you're back, okay.
Yeah, and then, like,
it wasn't really as entertaining as it could have been. Like,
no, and the kind of passive-aggressive thing between her and Kate. I don't know, it just kind of, it could have been better. And then the recoupling, there was, the only major thing was your one Tink. Is that her name? Tink.
Is it?
Yeah. Montel, the girl that Montel was shifting and did the heavy petting under the blankets. Mm-hmm. There's always that moment where they have that where, like, oh, they recouple and your one is there with a sore face and like, well, I thought I was going to be
picked. It wasn't exactly PG.
Yeah,
was it
wasn't telling me and all this. Like, John, there's always that moment. That was that one big moment, because, like, between that and then Elle coming back in with Uzi, where Tyreek was just fuming.
We want more controversy when we're watching. Like, we want there to be a big blow up. So, like, when everyone kind of knew that Elle was bringing back Uzi, and everyone was like so excited to see it. It was such dramatic television, but there was no real big blow ups.
No.
Yeah. So that's what we're looking for now.
I want Rouse. I want physical altercation.
Hit someone.
Like, yeah. Want someone thrown out. Like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Will we ever get that again?
Islander shot in dramatic finale.
Stop. Could you imagine? So if you were in there now, who would your type be? Obviously, you're not single, we know that, but from your fiance, because that's obviously your most
girls are obviously very, very attractive, so it would just be, as cliche as it sounds, a case of who I think I'd get on well with and who I'd have the crack with and stuff. So probably Elle. I think Elle is very, very attractive, and Katie again is a very looking girl as well, but I don't think I could hold a conversation with her.
No, you'd have to crack with Elle because she's Scottish.
Yeah,
as well,
exactly.
So like, yeah.
I love the Scottish accent as well. So, yeah, I would say so.
You're not going to ask me who my type is, no?
I'll stab a guess. Let me see. No, I would say you'd be a Sammy man, would you?
Oh, Jesus. No.
Yeah. Well, say, you'd be saying, do you need another kiss if you like me?
But no, as fair as on the night out, I probably wouldn't. I'd shift all of them. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, in fairness, like, they're all very good looking. But probably be Tyreek or Mitch.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be mine.
Fair analysis.
I think, yeah.
Come here, listen.
The The Crocs, Mitch wearing the Crocs is a plus for me. You're a Croc man too, aren't you?
I am a big
you?
Croc man.
Well, yeah, I am. Comfort myself. Is key. I love comfort a good, strong colour sock with a different colour Croc.
Absolutely.
But kind of, they go well with each other. Like, you know?
A sock up to the knee.
Oh, right up there. Like, yeah. I actually...
It's almost like a stocking at that stage, isn't it?
My terrible thing I put up on my Instagram there when I was on holidays, because I always wear the high socks and I'm always wearing shorts, so I've tanned legs, but then just until kind of halfway up my ankle and my feet are like alabaster white. It's terrible. So I was trying to, do you have that? Because you're always with the socks on as well.
I mean, I'm careful when I'm out there. It's more my travel fit would be a socks and sandals or socks and Crocs kind of vibe. But then when I'm there, I'm very much barefoot. Like,
oh, you're barefoot. Yeah. So then, yeah, I suppose selling the socks won't really come into them.
I'm kind of evenly tanned everywhere.
You're not wearing them enough to kind of get.
No, I'm not that much of an advocate.
They'd be just new. Like,
yeah,
you know.
I'm a part-time sock wearer. Bandwagoner.
What's next for Eric Roberts?
This year has been mental, like crazy, and I'm constantly saying it, and people are probably sick hearing it, but like I feel like I'm in such a privileged position. Like every day is like I've won the lottery, getting to do all this stuff and travel and meet these people, and I've actually been given an amazing opportunity in the last couple of weeks that I said I would announce today. So this is out tonight, isn't it? So yeah. I've been invited by JD to the Women's World Cup in Australia host the games, which is just mind-blowing to me. Do you know what I mean? To be traveling to Australia with a brand that I've worked with for a couple of years.
And that's work.
That's work. Like, how do you call that work? So it's just incredible. And then I have some really exciting stuff happening later in the year, which I can't talk about yet. I hate being one of those people. Like, I can't tell you yet. But it's going to be happening later in the year. And
but I'm sure you'll give Goss the exclusive, won't you?
I will. I've told probably more people than I should have told.
Ali's under NDA now.
No, but it's gonna be a huge year. And that aside as well, some more exciting offers as well on the table. Again, radio and TV and stuff. So we'll see what happens. But the next couple of weeks is gonna be incredible. Obviously with the Australia trip, and then I'm getting married then a couple of weeks after that. So it's all.
So what date or not exact date, but what month?
End of August. We're getting married. Yeah.
Jeez, it's not long coming around. I suppose, you had your stag. And
I'll be in Australia still planning it and making phone calls and stuff. So still a mountain of stuff to do. But
are you doing a lot of the planning or is it half and half?
A lot of the heavy lifting has been done, but when you get closer, you realise there's still loads of stuff to do, small stuff. So that's where we are now. But Niamh's done a lot of the planning.
Are you a bit of a groomzilla?
Absolutely not. I think I've picked the suit and I've organised to lift the suit. So that's the extent of my planning, that's been it. Do you know what I mean? That's what I've been allowed to, but I only did that last week. So
I'd say the first wedding dance will be good.
I don't think we've nothing mad planned. I mean, it depends how many pints I have beforehand. I'll be like, DJ, run it back. No, we'll see. We'll try and keep it as romantic as we can.
Yeah. A little bit of robotics at the end.
Yeah, just at the end, yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to see. Come here, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. You've been
Thanks
a great guest.
Thanks for having me.
We're looking forward to seeing what's more to come of you as well. We'll definitely know we'll see you more.
Sure,
on the small screen and the big screen, hopefully, as well.
We'll see. And you're doing a great job.
Oh, thanks very much.
Fantastic job.
It's not all about you, Eric, is it? No.
Listen.
Thank you. Goss Island is brought to you by F&F Fashion at Tesco. Now, I love a good gawk in F&F when doing my Tesco shop at the weekend, and they've got some lovely bits in store to suit any occasion. I've recently bought some fab pieces myself and love how comfortable, stylish and versatile their clobber is, especially in the warmer weather. Whether you're hosting a Love Island party or going on holidays, with availability in over 80 stores nationwide, F&F at Tesco has you covered this summer.